Oftentimes, I am amused by the way our biblical authors, or interpreters, I guess I should say, interpret our biblical authors. I am particularly fond of this particular passage because there is this really fabulous line in which it talks about Jesus being deeply moved. The actual translation of this is that his bowels were moved, that he felt pain in his bowels. That's not necessarily the way we see it interpreted in the scriptures. But I will say this much. If you have ever had a shock, a surprise, some tragic news delivered to you, whether it is a relationship suddenly ending without you anticipating it happening, that it's not you, it's me conversation, you know the one I'm talking about. If you've ever had someone that you love very dearly suddenly die, you feel that, don't you? It's an internal sense. You feel that gut punch, that deep sense of something being wrong. You feel it, not in your heart, you feel it in your gut. This is how Jesus is responding to the death of Lazarus. Now, there are a few things to note about the death of Lazarus. First of all, Jesus is not surprised that Lazarus has died. Jesus is aware of what is happening. He is aware that Lazarus has died. And in fact, if you read through this story, there is this very unusual series of events. Jesus is informed that Lazarus is ill and that they need him to come and to help Lazarus, his dear friend. And Jesus does not drop everything that he is doing and run to Lazarus' side. In fact, he takes a little extra time on his way. And on his way, he's informed, "Teacher, you can turn around and go back home. It's too late. Lazarus has died." But he does not turn around and go home. Instead, he comes and he finds Mary, he finds the family, and he says, "Take me to Lazarus." Their response is pretty much the same as the people that had been sent to Jesus. "Well, Lord, it's too late. Had you been here, could have done something, but now it's too late. There's nothing to be done." And Jesus says, "Just watch." And he is taken to the tomb. And he says, "Roll the stone away." And even Mary says, "Lord, it's too late. He's been in the tomb 4 days. There's nothing to be done. There is no saving the situation." But Jesus knows something that nobody else knows. He knows what happens when God does things in God's own time. Now, every single person along the way knew what they thought was the right thing to do. Mary and Martha sent for Jesus' help when it was clear that Lazarus was ill. That was the right thing to do. When Lazarus took a turn for the worse and died, they sent someone to tell Jesus to go home. It's too late, because that was the right thing to do. When they come to the tomb and Jesus asks to have the stone rolled aside, they say, "Surely not now. It's too late. Let's just leave it as it is, because that's the right thing to do." And here's the thing. Oh, the logic would dictate that they were right in all three of those situations. They were wrong each time, because God had something far greater in mind. God had for Lazarus new life, resurrection, to come up out of the tomb and to walk out and back into the lives of his family. That was what Jesus had in his mind to do. There is a long-standing joke that if you really want to get out of work in Sunday school or confirmation or vacation Bible school, and if you've ever been assigned the task of having to memorize a Bible verse, that you want to come to this particular passage in the scriptures, because because it contains the shortest passage in the entirety of the Bible, a single verse that contains the words, Jesus wept. So it's an easy one, you know. I memorized this verse, Jesus wept. But it's an important verse. It is so deeply important. Because why did Jesus weep? Did Jesus weep because Lazarus had died? Well, Jesus knew Lazarus was going to die. More importantly, Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus up from the dead. So for whom was Jesus crying? For what reason was he moved in his innards? I've always made the argument that it was not the death of Lazarus that moved Jesus so deeply, but death itself. That Jesus looked upon death and said, no more. That Jesus looked at dying and said, I will undo this thing. That if you look into the book of Genesis, when God created man and woman, created humanity to come into the garden, he did not create them to die. But instead, he placed within the midst of the garden of good and evil a choice. And he was very clear with humanity. Eat from the knowledge of good and evil, eat from this tree, and you will most surely die. The opposite being true, don't and you won't. It was God's plan for us that we would live in perfection. But we had other plans. We exited the Garden of Eden, and we did so with death itself within us. When Jesus encounters death, he undoes it. Think about that reality of Scripture, that when Jesus encounters death, when Jesus encounters sickness, when Jesus encounters someone who has lost their vision, lost their hearing, lost their ability to walk, when he encounters the symptoms of death, Jesus always heals. Not only does Jesus always heal, he even heals when he doesn't know he's healing. I love the story of the woman who wanted to touch the hem of his robe because she knew if she could just do that, she would be made whole again. And she touches the hem of his robe and she is made whole and healed. And Jesus stops and goes, wait a minute, I think I just healed someone. Who was it? And looks around. It is in Christ's nature to bring life and to overcome death. So when he stands at the entrance to Lazarus's tomb, there is no question in his mind what he is going to do. He's going to overcome death. And he cries because he sees how death affects us all. He cries out of compassion for his children. He cries out of love for us. We are on our way to the last few weeks of Lent, where we will face up to Monday, Thursday, and then Good Friday, in which Jesus, in order to destroy death, confronts it head on by embracing death, in order that he might die and rise again from the grave 3 days later and offer to each and every one of us what he offered to Lazarus, the opportunity to overcome death. Now here's the thing. Jesus is told by Mary's messengers, come and see Lazarus and save him because he is on death's door and he is ill and only you can help. And Jesus, to the human eye, did not make it there on time. Because God's time is not our time. And too late for us is never too late for God. There is no such thing as too late for God to make right that which is wrong in the lives that we lead. You may be waiting on something in your life and you're wondering what God's timing is. And you may actually look at it and go, well, it's too late. God's timing just never happened. God always has a plan. God always has a plan to make anything that is wrong right, to make anything that is broken whole, and even to overcome death itself. When we face death, we do so with a deep sense within us that it just isn't right. No one faces death without feeling the awareness of Adam and Eve leaving the Garden of Eden, knowing that they should have been living forever, but are not. But when we face death standing side by side with Christ Jesus, who himself faced death, died, but then rose again in order that we might enjoy the promise of life, life abundant, and life beyond this one in God's kingdom, in which we are promised to share with Jesus Christ. We have had one of the more beautiful moments in the life of Christianity, and that is a baptism. We sprinkle people when we baptize people, but historically speaking, we've submerged them underwater. You know why we submerge people underwater when we baptize them sometimes? It is to signify going down into the grave. And that when you are lifted up out of the water, you are brought up into the new life of Christ Jesus, that you are now a resurrected being, that death itself no longer has power over you, because you have died to this world and been born again into the kingdom of God. That is who we are. Those who have been given the very power through baptism over death itself through our Lord Jesus Christ, who overcame the grave for us. And so I say to each and every one of you today who have gotten the opportunity to witness what it is that God is doing in our midst, wait on God. Be patient. Listen for him to do what he is going to do, and know that he has planned for your life that which is good. Even if it doesn't come in our schedule or our anticipation, God will bring life out of anything, even death itself, just as he did for Lazarus and just as he does for each and every one of us through the cross. Amen.